Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, and I'm excited that you're here with me this morning. This is my favorite week of the year. It truly, truly is. It's Thanksgiving week. My wedding anniversary is November 25th, so it's actually tomorrow. We got married the Saturday after Thanksgiving 25 years ago. And so I get to combine Thanksgiving, which is my family's favorite holiday. I love that we focus on gratitude. I love the fall colors and scents. And, oh, I just love the crisper air. And I just love, love, love this week. And I'm really excited because I also get to share with the love of my life. So to me, I love this time, and I hope that you do as well. Today's topic is going to be a little different. I know you're probably coming to the call thinking, well, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, but that's not going to be the case at all. Today we're going to be talking about stumbling blocks, and the title for today's message is An Unforeseen Stumbling Block, Don't Let It Trip You Up. And before I start, I want to just let you know that we always get on the line about 25 after and start taking prayer requests and praise reports. And today, I'm going to be real transparent with you and just share what's on my heart. Last week, I was in a lot of pain. I had probably some of the highest pain days I've had in a long time. And I asked for prayer on Facebook, and I don't do that very often, but I was overwhelmed, absolutely overwhelmed by the response of so many people, and many of you are on the line with us today that just said, I'm praying for you, I love you, you know, you'll make it to the other side, hang in there, God's healed you, all of those kind of things. And I just first off wanted to say how grateful I was and to let you know that within about 45 minutes of making that post, my pain levels had dropped to something that was tolerable. And so I'm so thankful. And I know that the Lord doesn't want me in pain. And so I'm walking this out in faith and just standing on the promise that the Lord has already healed me. And but I wanted to let you know how much I appreciate your love and your support and your prayers, and also the ability that you give me to pray for you and pour into your lives and minister to you. I don't take it lightly. It's one of the things that I thank the Lord for each and every day, that he's put me in this position and allowed you to be a part of our group and allowed me to minister to you. And we, I'm a coach and a trainer and things like that, and it's important that every leader has a leader. Every pastor has a pastor. Every coach has a coach. And I was reminded of that when I did a interview on TBN, and which that just aired last Friday, and it'll air again at 1:30 in the morning on Thanksgiving. But if you want to watch that and check that out, it was a fun interview to do, and it was the first that I've done where I'm not the one doing the interviewing, but someone was interviewing me on television. And the pastor reminded me, and he said, you know, tell me about why leaders need leaders and coaches need coaches, and I'm a pastor and I need a pastor. And so I'm going to encourage you to go over to my timeline, click that. It's a short little, like, 15-minute video, but I think it's going to bless you. But I need a coach, too. So I've got several coaches, and John and I went up to meet with my coach. We were going to do a business planning day. We had a mastermind group of five of us, and we were all going to go to her house in Austin, and we were going to put together this business plan. And about an hour and a half in, I had to go to the bathroom. So I, you know, had lots of tea on the way up. And for those of you that know me, I love tea. And so I got up to go to the restroom. And I walked to where I thought the restroom was and realized I was walking into a bedroom. So I quickly turned around. And at that moment, when I turned around, a thought came into my mind. And I thought, you know, I'm so thankful that we can turn around when we find ourselves on the wrong path or a different path. And the moment that I did that, all of a sudden, my foot and my toe caught something that I didn't even see. And it was a little trunk that was kind of hid by the corner, but sticking out just a little bit from the wall. And I heard a crack. And for those of you that know me, I've been battling with a broken toe and broken foot since July. I've been in a boot, all kinds of crazy things. The boot caused a DVT. You name it, the enemy has tried to just take me out. Well, it was the same foot. And I just said, in Jesus' name, I do not receive a broken foot or a broken toe. And I hobbled into the bathroom, and the tears started streaming down my eyes. I had tripped up, and I didn't even know what I was tripping over. The day progressed, and my foot began to swell and bruise, and the pain was unbearable. But I just thought, I'm finishing this day. The enemy's not going to take away this day. And as we sat in the mastermind and we were talking, John was coming just to support me, and because he does a lot of the financials for the business and things like that. So I thought, you know, that would be good to have him there if he wanted to come, and he wanted to meet my coach, and so we thought that'd be great. But as we sat there, the coach asked questions of each one of us as we went around the table. And she asked John, and she said, no, John, I want you to participate. And he said, no, I'm just here to support Becky. And she said, no, I really feel like God wants me to have you participate. So he answered some of the questions. And some of the breakthroughs that I've been praying for more than 25 years, because we've been together 7 years before we got married. We met each other actually in junior high and started dating later in high school. And God took that moment and changed my husband and moved him into a different direction. And I want you to know that sometimes when we have those stumbling blocks, when we get tripped up or we find ourselves going in the wrong direction, that it happens to all of us, but that God promises us in his word that he's going to work everything together for good for those that love him and have been called according to his purpose. Now, I don't know if you caught the amount of time I've been praying, but I've been praying for some of these things for 30 years. That's a long time. I know for some of you that are on the line, you probably haven't even been alive for 30 years. But I want to take us to the Word, and I want us to really learn and to think about the situation. And I hope that it really blesses you and encourages you. I want to start off where we're in the New Testament, and Jesus goes and he gets baptized by John the Baptist, who is his cousin. But we know from the very beginning of the book of Luke that, you know, John the Baptist was anointed. He was special. He leapt in his mother's womb when he saw Mary, or when his mother saw Mary with Jesus in her womb. And he was the one that was supposed to go and make the way for the Messiah. And, man, he was on fire for God. I mean, he was so on fire, he was a Nazarene. That means he wasn't drinking. He was actually not cutting his hair. He was living an extraordinary life, but it was very eccentric. But he was so sold out and so on fire. He was in the wilderness, and he was out baptizing. He was calling people to a baptism of repentance, and that, you know, people needed to come back to God, and he knew his purpose. And you might be in that same place where you are on fire for God, or maybe you were in the past and you just knew you were in the right place and you were the one crying out in the wilderness like, come on, people, let's get on fire for God. But there was a time when then Jesus went and he got baptized with him, and everybody knew that he was the Son of God. They actually heard that the audible voice of God and a dove coming down as a representation of the Holy Spirit and the unity of Jesus and that him being the Messiah. And when then Jesus went off on his ministry, and John kept doing that as well, and he had disciples. And then he was being martyred, and he was being persecuted, and he was arrested, and it was a really tough, tough time for him. And the thing that I like to keep in mind is that he probably had a vision in his mind how his walk with the Lord was going to look like, and what his ministry was going to look like, what his business was going to look like, right? Put yourself into this scenario and kind of go through this with me and feel what John felt. But he actually, in Matthew 11, 2 and 3, says John sent a message by his disciples. So he sent his disciples because he was in jail. And he wanted them to ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Now, I don't think that John was being, like, mean or hateful, but I think that he probably was having some feelings of doubt and concern because it wasn't what he thought was going to happen. You know, we see that all the way through, even through Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, that it wasn't what we as human beings thought it was going to look like. You know, but like John, have you ever found yourself waiting and waiting on Christ to come through? I'm sure that's what was happening, is he was waiting. He was waiting for days and days. Maybe you've been waiting like I was, decades and decades. But have you ever endured a long stretch of suffering on a certain matter? Maybe it's for a job. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's for your children to come to know the Lord. Maybe it's for your spouse to come, to really come into that partnership with you, to really love you just for who you are. I don't know what it is for you, but have you endured long stretches of suffering on a certain matter while hearing all sorts of wondrous works going on everywhere else all the way around you, miracles over here and over there, and you're wondering, where are you, Lord? Do I have this confused? Did I mess it up? It hurts, doesn't it? You know, we can be believers in Jesus for years, literally seeking him, finding him, serving him, and then all of a sudden we have a staggering bout with doubt. And I'll be honest with you, I doubted. I doubted so much that I lost my temper right before we turned into the driveway of my coach. I was so frustrated with John. Why wouldn't you love me enough to come up and help me with the business plan? Why wouldn't you enter into our marriage, into a covenant? Why don't you love me? And I lost my temper. I allowed doubt to overwhelm me. Have you ever been in that place where you had doubt? You maybe felt overwhelmed with guilt or fear and thought, you know what, how in the world could this be happening? And then as you're coming through and to the other side, you say, you know, how could I be doubting after all this time? It's a horrible feeling. And I just want to suggest, however, that these kind of doubts are probably not coming from our heads. They're coming from our hearts, right? Our feelings, our emotions, our hurts. Does that mean that we just give in to them and we just surrender to them? No way, Jose. Not at all. Our heart doubts can be very dangerous, though. They're dangerous if we remain in them and if we think about them for a long period of time. If we wrestle through them with the Lord Jesus, when we get to the other side of our crisis, we're going to find ourselves spilled into a place of spacious faith. Right? Jude 22 and 23 says, "Have mercy on some who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire." Doubt is the opposite, and fear is the opposite of faith. When you find yourself in that position, know that that's a huge warning sign. Run to Jesus. You know, one of Satan's most effective devices for causing a believer to stumble is to trap them over a matter of faith. And he even tries to use Jesus himself against us. The most effective faith trap that Satan could set for a Christian is to tempt us to doubt the goodness, the righteousness, or the mightiness of Christ. And I'll be honest with you, I had to repent right then and there. I was in the bathroom crying over my foot hurting, but I had to repent because I had let doubt and fear and overwhelm take me, and I knew better. But my heart and my pain overtook me. You know, Christ held John the Baptist in the highest esteem. Even after John even questioned his lordship about him being the Messiah. Have you ever questioned God? Know that God cares for you so much that you don't have to doubt. He was under a terrible, terrible strain. His martyrdom was imminent. He knew it was coming, and Christ knew that. And Jesus knows the strain that you're under as well. He handled John's question because he knew that the heart and the mind from which they came, didn't he? Just like he knows yours. Jesus wanted him and us to be sure that we understood this and that the hand of God is working out your divine purpose and blessing in all the affairs that you have. Don't let the perceived activity or the inactivity of Christ trap you or make you stumble. Again, we've all been there, right? It tells us in the Word in Luke 8, 4, it tells us, "And when a very great throng was gathering together and people from town after town kept coming to Jesus, he said it in a parable. He said, a sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the traveled path and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And some seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprouted up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell in the midst of the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it off. And some seed fell into good soil and grew up and yielded a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him be listening and let him consider and understand by hearing. And when his disciples asked him the meaning of the parable, he said to them, to you it's been given to come progressively to know and to recognize and to understand more strongly and clearly the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they're in parables so that though looking, they may not see, and hearing, they may not comprehend. But he wants his disciples to know. He wants you to know. So he says, now the meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those along the traveled road are the people who have heard. Then the devil comes and he carries away the message out of their hearts that they may not believe. That's the doubt, right? Acknowledge me as their Savior and devote themselves to me and be saved here and hereafter. And those upon the rock are the people who, when they hear the word, receive it and welcome it to their joy, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, and in a time of trial and temptation, they fall away. Again, that doubt, right? And as far as what fell among the thorns, those are the people who hear, but as they go out on their way, they're choked and suffocated with the anxieties and the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit doesn't ripen. They don't come to maturity and perfection. But as for the seed in the good soil, those are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast and in just and a worthy heart and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. So what do you do with the word? What do you do when you've got doubt or trials or even just the pleasures of the world that want to choke out the goodness that he has? You know, the parable of the sower helps us to understand that the obstacles that limit us and the elements that would free the Spirit to teach us the deep things of God, all four types of soil represent people who heard the word, yet only one produced a harvest. Are you one of those that's going to produce a harvest? It's not just enough to hear the word. We have stumbled on the greatest burden for the body of Christ. And that's how Satan trips us up, right? He puts that doubt in our heart. It's not that we're not hearing the word. I hope all of you are hearing the word. If you're on the call, you're hearing the word, right? But it's how we live it out. Do you desperately want to change? Are you miserable in your captivity? Do you understand that the power to be transformed was in the authentic application of the Word of God of the Scripture? Obedience is not to make God feel like you know, oh, he's just the boss. Trust me, he already knows he's the boss. Our obedience to apply the Word of God is so that we can live victorious lives that glorify our Father in heaven. Hearing it is simply not enough. Don't get tripped up in doubt or the lack of faith. Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Who has paid attention to his word and obeyed? That's what Jeremiah 23:18 says. The Lord wants us to know that he's paying attention. He's wondering if we're obeying. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I want you to know in life we all experience things that are unexpected. But when something unplanned happens, even that doubt, we have to realize that it's not a surprise to God. Maybe you're dealing with some kind of loss, something that hit you unexpectedly. Maybe you're discouraged and overwhelmed, and you say, you know, I just can't believe this is happening. Have a new perspective. God knew this was going to happen. It's not a surprise to him. It didn't catch him off guard. He's already anointed you. You have the strength that you need. You have the peace. You have the determination. You have the confidence. You're not lacking anything. You're anointed, and the forces that are for you are greater than the forces that are against you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. In the difficult times, trust that God's going to see you through to the other side. Believe his plans for your future are for good, know that even though something caught you off guard, it didn't catch God off guard, and he's prepared and ready to lead you to that place of victory. This brings me to our prayer time today. But before I do that, I want to remind you of the free resource that I have for you on my website. All you have to do is go to BeckySpeeth.com. You go to digital downloads, and then on digital downloads it says who I am and what I think. There's all kinds of scripture for if you have doubt, if you think, you know, it's impossible. God's word says all things are possible. If you think it's not worth it, God's word says it will be worth it. It tells us in the word that faith is the opposite of fear and doubt. So if we want our faith to come up, it tells us in the word that we have to renew our minds. We also have to increase our faith by hearing the word of God. That's how faith is increased. So use this free tool to help support you with that. Also, I wanted to let you know, and I'm not trying to do a sales pitch, but I want this in your hands, that right now I've got many, many things on sale on my website. We started the Black Friday sale early because I wanted you to take advantage of this the full week. And we've got the Word on Business, Speaking Success Scripturally. It is an expanded version of this free document, but and there is a small fee, but it's an audio MP3 that you can download or you can listen to, and it goes over all the different areas of your life and your business. So you've got the Word of God to increase your faith around finances, confidence, business, what the Word says about you as a person, and all kinds of things. But I want to go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to ask for a prayer request for you to pray for me. My foot's severely bruised, and they think I bruised the bone. The other bone still isn't healed in my toe from July, and I want to be able to walk on my honeymoon, anniversary trip. This is something that John's dreamt of his whole life, and we're going to go to Hawaii, but now I can't even walk, and we wanted to snorkel and do some other things, but I believe in the power of prayer. I've seen miracles. I've brought dogs back to life. I've had people's hearing restored, their sight restored. I've seen them be able to not walk and walk, and I know that God's not a respecter of persons, and he will heal me, and I would just ask you to agree with me in faith. Father God, we love you and we thank you. Thank you that you don't leave us to our mess, that you take our mess and turn it into a message. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to stay in our doubt and our unbelief, but that you've given us the power and you've given us everything we need to walk out our divine destiny, and that our faith is rising up because we're hearing the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that we are renewing our minds and that we have renewed passion. And Lord, I pray that you will spark it in Betty so strong that she could not even contain herself. And Father God, I just ask for favor for Gretchen's father for the approval of the Medicaid so that he can have the care that he needs in the nursing home. Lord, we praise you for that. And I praise you and thank you that Gretchen's so diligent in serving her father. Lord, I just want to give you thanksgiving. I give you everything, Lord. We lay all of our trouble and our mess at your feet. But you tell us that we enter into your courts, into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, Lord. And so I thank you that we are in your presence and we just come to you grateful. And Lord, I just pray that this week is a time of special renewing for each and every person, for their families, that you have brought us into a ministry of reconciliation, that there's reconciliation in relationships, and that there's a time of sweetness, of gratitude for you and for each other this week. Lord, I praise you and thank you that you've given us our businesses. You've given us each other. Help us to walk out faithfully, without doubt, all the goodness that you've had, and help us to receive that harvest, because you tell us that we have to plant those seeds, but then that we also can harvest 100-fold. We praise you and we thank you for your love and your goodness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.